the weatherman's hymn, there shall be showers of blessings. A contractor's hymn, the church's one foundation. The tailor's hymn, holy, holy, holy. The golfer's hymn, there's a green hill far away. The politician's hymn, standing on the promises. The optometrist's hymn, open my eyes that I may see. An agent's hymn, I surrender all. The gossip's hymn, pass it on. The electrician's hymn, send the light. The shopper's hymn, sweet by and by. The realtor's hymn, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. The massage therapist's hymn, he touched me. The doctor's hymn, great physician. So those are a few hymns for the holidays. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to see a story here. I want you to know that my heart for 2009 is how we can affect our region. So I want to expand your thinking today. I want you to literally think outside the box. How many know that we can box ourselves in with our mentalities, right? Us four and no more. But my heart and my desire, see, God has a world's perspective. Who did he give his son to? To Africa? To Asia? No, he gave his son to who? The whole world. And wherever God has placed each one of us, he's placed you in this church. He's placed you in a neighborhood, a community. He's placed you in a job. And you are to be there for one primary purpose, really. Not just to do what you do to earn money, but to impact that area with your presence. Did you know that God blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph's presence? Potiphar was a heathen. He didn't know God, but God had placed a godly man there by the name of Joseph, and his presence affected the heathen's house. Potiphar saw it. He said, look, everything this Joseph touches turns to gold, so I'm going to put him in charge of my house. So I want to look at how we can reach our region and beyond. Amen? I'm really focusing on the region and beyond. I want to expand. I'd like to see this church become a regional church. We're not on a hill by accident. Amen? And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, reading at verse 1, and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and put away the strange gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Samuel took a sucking lamb, offered it up a burnt offering holy unto the Lord, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. You know, when God speaks, people listen. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they come under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto has the Lord helped us." So I want you to listen now to this. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities, say the cities. Listen to this. The cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored unto Israel. Cities. And there were five cities. And from Ekron to Gath and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. So we see here, this was a time in Israel's history when they had lost the Ark of God. They had lost the presence of God. And if you read a couple chapters before, that's when Eli died. When his sons died, he fell off the throne and broke his neck and died. And his daughter-in-law had a baby, and they named him Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. And that's when the Philistines captured the ark. Because Hophni and Phinehas, who were Eli's sons, were wicked. But yet they served as priests, but they were wicked. They were doing things that were an abomination to God. So God's judgment came, and they lost the battle to the Philistines. And now everywhere, every city that the Philistines put the ark had plagues. You don't mess with God. Amen? And they tried to put the ark in front of their idol worship, their idol named Dagon. And every day they would check on Dagon, the statue would be bowing down to the ark. You know what? God means it when he says, "You have no other gods before me." There's only one God, one Lord, one Savior. There's only one way to heaven. There isn't many ways. Jesus is the only way. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and if you leave this earth, you will end up in hell. I know that that's tough, but that's the truth. You must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just do something for him, but have a relationship with him. There were people in the Bible that did things in the name of the Lord, but the Lord said, "I never knew you. Depart from me." Let me tell you something. Salvation is not about going to church. It's not about being this or being that. It's about knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your personal Lord and Savior, knowing him, having a relationship with him, being intimate with him, communicating with him. Amen? So it was at Mizpah, and it's interesting, the word Mizpah means watchtower. You know, the Bible describes the Lord as a strong tower, and when the righteous run to him, they can find safety. What happens if the righteous don't run to him? Then you're going to have trouble. When you run to him, that's when you find safety. But when you say, "Lord, come to me." No, he said, you run to him. Why? He already stepped out of heaven. You want him to step back out of heaven? Do you realize that from the beginning, God created man to fill, multiply, and replenish the earth? When he created Adam, you read it in Genesis 1:27. He said, "I want you to fill, multiply, and replenish the earth." We are here to take dominion. Amen? How many is a James Bond fan? I'm a big James Bond fan. I love watching the James Bond movies. But every one of the bad guys wants to, they're into world domination. They want to do something to dominate the world. Well, you know what? I'm into world salvation. I want to see the world saved. Amen? For God so loved all the world. He loves the whole thing. Jesus, it's God's will. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, it's my will that none should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. God doesn't want anyone to miss out. He wants everyone to receive the gospel and at least have a chance to believe it. Because ultimately, when we all leave this earth, we're going to see, everybody's going to see all the chances that they've had to receive the gospel. Because if you never heard it, you can see it in nature. The heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. You can see it in creation. You can see it just by looking at the human body, how complex the human body is. You did not come from the goo to the zoo to you. So this was God's design from the beginning for us to dominate. So how do we reach out to a region? One act of faith in 1 Samuel chapter 7. He gathered the people, and when they did, the Lord thundered from heaven. He destroyed the enemy, and not only that, but they were restored cities, regions. There were five cities that's mentioned in the previous chapter, and I believe it was those five that got back to Israel, including Gath. You know who was from Gath? Goliath. Gath was returned to Israel. Amen? How many want to own where your giants live? Come on now. You know a giant is defeated when you get their city back. Come on. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. How can we reach out to the regions and beyond? I want you to come out of the box today. I want you to come out of your small thinking. You know, Jabez, he says a little prayer in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Expand my territory. Help me to not experience pain, and bless me. And you know what? The Bible heard his prayer, that little prayer that he prayed. His name was born Jabez. He was born in pain, but he refused to accept the world's labels. He refused to call himself pain. He cried out to God, and God heard his prayer. Well, what's going to happen today if you cry out to God? God's going to hear your prayer. He's going to respond to your cry. He's going to listen. He's going to act, but you got to cry out. You got to run to him. Taking a region is a team sport. It's not about one person or one church. It's going to require the body coming together. If you've ever danced, it's very important to determine who's going to lead. Because if you don't, you might step on someone's toes. Amen? Or you might trip and fall. But so, we're going to look at ways. See, there were some things that Samuel did to affect the region. Number one, there was repentance. Israel had departed from God. And in doing so, they welcomed idols, Baal and Asheroth. Idols that were made by hands. Idols that couldn't speak. But yet they worshiped them. Do you remember what we read? Remove the idols from among you. So the first step in taking a region is repentance. Not the world, but the believers. Who were the nation of Israel? They represented the believers. They were the chosen people of God. They were whom God... It was repentance began with them before it could affect the world. What does repent mean? To change? Change your way of doing things? Change your mode of operation? In repentance, you reconnect with God. You renew his perfect plan for you. How many know that it's very easy? I talked about this last week. You can either have the permissive will of God. God will allow you to choose. And you may not make the best choice of things. Or you can have the perfect will of God. Well, I don't know about you, but I want the perfect will of God. Who determines whether you're in the permissive will or the perfect will? You. Me. The choices you make, the decisions you decide. Your decisions decide your destiny. So you got to renew his perfect plan for your life. You got to rebuild your relationship with him. You've got to rekindle your passion for Christ and the kingdom. When you get on fire, I'm telling you what, that fire will affect other people. As a young believer, I had a lot of zeal, and I would sit in the coffee shops, and I would just begin to share my heart and pour my heart, and that affected others. Little did I know then, but looking back, I can see how God was working his gift in me, and I didn't even know it. But I would sit in the Word. I would bug people. You know, they'd say, I'm believing God for something. And I'd say, really? I said, well, what scripture are you standing on? And man, they'd look at me like, what are you talking about? But see, I was exercising my gifts, and I didn't know it then. But looking back, go with me to Acts 3:19. Acts 3:19. I never know how things are going to come out. You know, you plan, and you always say things that you don't plan, and you don't say things that you did plan, and so we're just in the flow, amen? And really, Acts 3:19 is the foundational scripture for our Wednesday night refreshings. Notice what it says. Peter was talking here, and he said, repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around, and return to God, that your sins may be erased or blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. So what does that tell me? It tells me that repentance brings his presence. It brings refreshing. Amen? Well, how come God doesn't have to repent? Because he's not the one who moved. Let me tell you something. It's very easy to get caught up in the things of this world. Remember the parable of the sower? Some of the seed went on, didn't even get in the dirt. It was just along the path. And the birds came and sucked that seed away. But then some were sown among thorns. But the cares of this world, the lust for other things, they entered in and choked it and made the word unproductive. It destroyed the produce of the seed. So it's very easy for human beings to get caught up in the cares of life. That's why we need to continually make minor adjustments as we go. If we're making minor adjustments in our attitude, minor adjustments in our speech, minor adjustments in our behavior, then God will keep us on track. The minute we do something wrong, we ought to say, Lord, I'm so sorry for that. That's wrong. I repent. Be quick to repent. Amen. You know what? You'll have a successful marriage if you're quick to repent and quick to forgive. Because I don't know about you, but there is no perfect person in this building right now. Not me. Oh, the pastor's not perfect. You better believe I'm not perfect. But thank God, God is perfect. And we don't have to choose to live in this flesh that we have. We can choose to respond out of love, out of the Spirit. We can choose to give in to the joy that's already there. We can choose to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, can't we? Isn't that right? Is that possible? Look at your neighbor and say, I don't know what's going to happen here. Go with me to the book of Joel. Hosea, Joel. Go to Daniel and take a right. Joel chapter 2. And look at verse 12. Well, let's look at verse 11 first. The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his host is very great, and they are strong and powerful who execute God's word. For the day of the Lord is great and terrible. Who can endure it? You know, there's coming a day when God's going to speak like thunder, and it's going to strike fear and terror to every unbeliever. There's coming that day. Verse 12, therefore also now says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me. I'm reading from the Amplified. With all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored. He said, rend your hearts, not your garments. In other words, when you repent, it's not necessarily changing how you look, but you got to change what's on the inside first before you can change how you look. If you change how you look first and your heart's ugly, you're out of alignment. God doesn't work from the outside in. How many had their hair color change when you got saved? Huh? Did your eye color change when you got saved? Did your body shape, did your physical characteristics change when you got saved? Well, what got changed? Something on the inside. And if you allow what's on the inside to work on the outside, it's going to create something beautiful out here too. Amen? What did he say? He'll give you beauty for ashes. He'll give you joy for mourning. Hallelujah. That's the kind of work that God wants to do. So we need to repent. If we're going to reach this region and beyond, we need to get our own house in order first. Amen? I should have passed out steel-toed boots today. But we do have a first aid kit. If anybody needs a Band-Aid, you know, we'll spray some Bactine on it or whatever. So the first step in reaching our region is repentance. Isn't that what Israel did under Samuel? Return to the Lord. Hallelujah. So, and I'm not saying, you know, just because a believer has to repent doesn't mean that you're wicked. It just means you're making a minor adjustment. How many of you get in your car, turn the key on, and don't ever put your hands on the steering wheel, and you expect the car to get to where you need to go? Huh? I hope none of you do. If you do, tell me which way you take so I can avoid that road. How do you stay on the road? You know, you got the music cranking. You're making the adjustments to the beat, you know. Doing a little singing. Come on. You get into your driving, don't you? I do sometimes. How many's ever talked to other people in the car as if they can hear you? Come on. Why talk to them? They can't hear you. It's not going to benefit them anyway. But just make your minor adjustments. You make those minor adjustments, and you'll stay in the middle of the road. You'll avoid the ditch here. You'll avoid the ditch here. You'll avoid other cars. You'll avoid trees. You just make minor adjustments. Amen? And listen to your GPS, your God's positional spirit on the inside of you. Just listen to him for direction, and he'll lead and guide you. Walk as many as are led by the Spirit. They are the sons of God. What distinguishes a child of God? They're hearing the voice of the Spirit, and they're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide them. Lord, is this okay for me? Should I get involved in this? Yes, okay. You know, before David entered any battle, he prayed. He said, Lord, should I get involved in this? There were times when he didn't seek the Lord. He got involved. He said, oh. You know, when you don't seek the Lord and you get involved in something, you might end up in trouble. So if you want to reach our region, we are going to have to repent first before we can affect the region. That's what they did at Mizpah. All right? Number two, you need to return to God. You need to get back to the basics. You need to go before the throne. How do you come before the throne of God? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, come boldly. That means with confidence. of who you are in Christ, who what Jesus Christ has done, you can confidently come before the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. I don't know about you, but I need grace every day. So every day, you've got to come before the throne to get grace. There's a buffet of grace at the throne. There's an endless supply of grace. What's grace? God's ability, God's power, God's strength, so that you can live a victorious life on this earth. It's by grace through faith. You know, John the Baptist, heard one preacher say he was like a slap in the face to religion. He didn't dress right, probably didn't smell right. He had that camping smell, you know? John the Baptist, he lived out in the wilderness. He ate locusts and honey. Come on. It wasn't honeycomb, it was honey. It wasn't sugar smacks, it was locusts and honey. Now, some say locusts might have been a plant, but, you know, there's a locust. I've seen Man versus Wild, and he eats some crazy, funky things when he's trying to survive. So I can only imagine. I bet John the Baptist probably ate some bugs. Probably had some locusts, you know. Would you like your locusts scrambled or fried this morning, John? But you know what part of his ministry was? To help people return to God. He would call out the religious leaders. He'd say, "Oh, you generation of vipers! Who told you to escape the fire from the Lord?" He said, the axe has been laid to the tree. He said, show me fruits of repentance. John the Baptist caused people to return to God. Why? He was prepared the way. We sang about it. These are the days of Elijah to prepare the way of the Lord. It was John the Baptist. He had to prepare the way to make the road straight, to remove the high places. Just seeing if you're awake. Let me take off my coat. That might help. It's God's amen. You know, in Luke chapter 11, you don't have to, or 15, there was a story of a prodigal son. And he went to his father and he said, "Give me my stuff, my inheritance. I want it now. I want it now. I want it now." So the father extended him some credit, gave him what was his, even though it wasn't time for him to have it yet. See, when we're dominated by the flesh, we got to have it now. We can't wait. See, the flesh needs instant gratification, you know? And if you give into that, you give it an inch, it'll take a mile, I guarantee it. So there was this prodigal son, man. He was living it up. He went to Vegas. He was playing the slots, playing the tables, seeing the shows, and he had an entourage with him because he had the money and all of his friends, but all of a sudden he lost everything. The Bible says it was because of riotous living. Living just to please the flesh. Do it now. If it feels good, please. If it pleases you or if it feels good, do it. If I can ever say it right. Isn't that how we live? That's how we live. That's how the prodigal son lived. What happened? He was in the pig pen. He's sitting there, and you know, Jewish boy and pig pen, they just don't go together. Amen? And you know what? He got this thought. He started to sober up in his mind. He started to think differently. He said, you know, if I just go to my father's house and be a servant, my father's servants have it better than I do. So what did he do? He got up out of that muck, out of that mire, and out of that stench, and with all the pig stuff on him, he started to make his way home. He had to swallow his pride. He was so arrogant when he took his stuff. But now he's not so arrogant anymore. And he was willing just to be a servant, not even a son. But thank God, the nature of God, he was there watching, waiting for his son, looking every day. He would get up and look down the lane. And then finally, the one day came, he saw his son walking down the lane, and he got excited. My son who was dead is now alive. He came back home. He made his way back to God. He got things right in his life. He got his thinking straightened out. But he had to come to himself to do it. It was something in his thinking that kept him in the pig pen, that got him there to begin with. He had to change the way he thought about himself. He had to change the way how he received from the Father. He returned. He went back to the place that he left. Maybe you feel like you're out of the will of God. Maybe you don't know what God has for you. Go back to what he originally told you. Go back, return to that instruction and that direction and see what the Lord says and then do that with all your heart. Maybe you didn't follow the instruction. You know, God doesn't write his instruction in Morse code or a language that we can't understand. He makes it plain. He has the Holy Spirit to bring you into all truth. He's given you the ability to hear his voice. You got to go back to the first instruction and make sure that you obey that fully before he gives you anything else. The prodigal son had to return. He had to come back to where he left. It was he that left. The father didn't kick him out. But the father gave him what he wanted. And that's what God does for us. He gives us what we want. You cry loud enough, God will give it to you. It may not necessarily be good. There's times when I call Gabriel, I'm the sugar police. And there are times when Gabriel, he comes to me and he says, Daddy, can I have something sweet? And I know that he's already had too much stuff sweet, but when he says that, it just does something to my heart. And I say, here, I give it to him. I know I shouldn't, but I do. Because that's the Father in me when the Son cries out. So we got to return to the point of obedience that we've left. We got to get back to the basics. If you want to affect this region, they asked Paul Youngie Cho, or maybe his name's David now. I forget what he changed his name to. He pastors the church in Korea, has over 100 and some thousand members in a church. And they said, how did you build this church? And he said, I prayed and I obeyed. Pretty simple, huh? Boy, if we all just did that, right? Pray and obey. When you pray, expect God to speak to you and then just do what he tells you to do. Amen? Then thirdly, if we want to affect this region, we've got to be willing to give away or to put away our idols. What's an idol? Anything that you glorify more than God is an idol. It could be a career. It could be a person. It could be a thing, an object. It could be a status. It could be finances. It could be anything that you put such importance on that you place more importance on it than you do on God. It is an idol. And the only thing you can do with an idol is to put it away. Isn't that what Samuel told Israel? Put away the Balaam and the Asheroth. You got to put them away. You got to take the trash out. Come on. Take the trash out. You got to lay aside the weight that does so easily beset you. Some of us are bogged down by habits. We keep doing the same thing over and over again. Now, it takes 30 days to establish a habit. If you have a bad habit, then you're going to have to take 30 days consecutively to do something different to establish a new habit. If you quit at day 8, you got to start over again. Amen? You know what Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 18, you know what he did with the prophets of Baal? He confronted them. And he said, the God who answers by fire, he's God of Israel. Now they were entrenched. There was 400 prophets of Baal. They ate at the king's house. Jezebel was their main sponsor in Israel in Elijah's day. They infiltrated. They had worked their way in. How did they get there? It didn't start off with 400. Little by little. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Don't try to take on the whole elephant. How does the devil get a foothold? Little by little. Little by little. You know, the Bible says give no place or foothold to the devil. Have you given a foothold to the devil in your life? How do you do that? Well, through the things we say, our negative speech, our lack of faithfulness in the things of God, our lack of commitment. Little by little, they come in. And you know what? The further you get away from a fire, the colder you'll be. Doesn't mean the fire's moved, but the further you get away from that fire, the less you feel its effects. It is possible. I mean, Peter, who traveled with Jesus for 3 years, denied him 3 times. He started walking away. But you know what? He got a hold of himself because of the prayer that the Lord prayed before it happened. And he came to himself before he got too far away. And he came back to the Lord. He returned to God after denying him. He returned and he got to preach the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. Ooh, hallelujah. So you got to put away idols. God told Moses, he said, I'm a jealous God. You don't want to get God on your bad side. How do you not get God on your bad side? Put him first. Matthew 6:33, seek first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But sometimes we get it mixed up. We seek the things and we expect his kingdom and righteousness to come after that. No, you got to seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? It's everything that Jesus is. It's his realm of influence. It's his way of doing things. It's his method of doing things. How many know that he's got a way of living? Amen? His ways are higher than our ways. But yet, through Christ, we can come up to those ways. We can come up higher. We can live differently. Amen? But we got to put away some idols. And believe me, the world is full of idols. We have a program called American Idol. Nothing wrong with the program. I watch it. But what do? People begin to idolize these people. You know what? I mean, all that stuff's going to burn up. All the stuff in this earth is going to burn up sometime. And the one who has more stuff than the other, you just might have a bigger pile of ashes. But you know what? Jesus was not affected by this temporal realm. He did not walk this earth with a care, with a worry. I mentioned it earlier. When he paid his taxes, what did he do? Peter, go get a fish. When 5,000 people plus, that's just the men, not including women and children, probably about 50, how'd you like 15,000 people to knock on your door and say, we're here for dinner? And you got a bowl of spaghetti. What are you going to do? Most of us would be frantic, but Jesus wasn't. He said, what do you have? Okay, thank you, Father. He kept feeding. And you know what? The people ate and were full, and there were fragments left over. He's a more than enough God. See, but Jesus was so focused on the eternal. He was so focused. You know what? People wanted to kill him. He didn't even break a nail over. He just walked away because it wasn't his time. He didn't sweat. Don't sweat the small things. And guess what? It's all small things. Come on now. Determine. Focus. Set your sights on those things that are eternal. Don't put your trust in your retirement. Put your trust in the living God. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. But the prophet said, I will trust in the name of the Lord. When David faced the giant, he said, you come at me with these weapons, but I come at you in a different way, with the name of the Lord. And it was his faith in God that he defeated the giant with. The same faith that you and I have, we can use to do the same thing. Let's put away our idols. Gauge yourself. Check your time on what you spend with things. I know for me, for this year, the Lord's leading on my heart to simplify my life. Anybody got some stuff in their house that you haven't used in 5, 6, 7 years? I got some stuff that I've used in my house. You know what? 2009 is a year, I'm getting rid of it. I'm going to simplify our life. Because really, the more stuff you have, the more stuff you got to take care of. And if you can take care of it, fine. Have all the stuff that you want. But for me, I need to simplify. I'm not going to take, Fiona has had to work with me. Because when we first got married, I didn't really want to part with things. she'd come out wearing my shirt and I'd freak out. Like, that's my shirt. But thank God she's helped me to loosen up over the years. And I'm at ease now. You can throw stuff away, throw it away, take the dump truck and throw it out. I don't want to hold on to it. Amen. Then number four is we need to prepare ourselves spiritually. What did Samuel do? He came to the watchtower. He gathered together. He brought the people together and he prayed. He said, I'm going to pray for the Lord for you. They cried out. They said, don't cease to pray for us, for our God. You got to pray, pray, pray. You got to fill yourself with the Spirit and the Word. You got to confront your enemy. You got to watch what God does. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Sometimes you might be sitting in the service and the Lord might impress upon you to do something that you've never done before. Do it! That just might be the spark that we need for the Holy Ghost to do what he wants to do. How do you start a fire? With a spark or with friction? Amen? Ephesians chapter 6. You think God is into preparation? Anybody that makes a dinner plan 6,000 years in advance, you know he prepares. Amen? I'm getting better at preparing. See, for my mindset, I think about tomorrow. Fiona thinks about years from now. It's just the different way we think, but that's why God put us together. I bring her back a little bit, and she brings me forward a little bit, and it works. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. And put on God's whole armor of heavy armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the surprises and the designs of the devil. For we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he says, therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day. The evil day is the day of temptation. And having done all, to stand in your place, stand. Well, the having done all to stand is the preparation to stand. When you've done all that you know to do, and the enemy comes at you like a flood, the Lord raises a standard against him. And you just stand on the word, and you let the enemy blow. You let the big bad wolf huff and puff, but he can't blow your house down. You can huff and puff, Mr. Devil, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm standing, and when you're out of breath, I'm going to run you over. You know, Jesus told his disciples to prepare for his betrayal. He said, every one of you tonight is going to be offended. And what did he do? He said, I want you to come with me and pray. What did they do? They slept. That's why our first prayer focus is awake the sleeping church. We need to wake up to what's happening in our world. There are some things happening. And I'm telling you what, it might get worse in the world. Matter of fact, it's not might, it will get worse in the world. You know, we have it good in America. We're not persecuted for practicing what we believe. But there may be a time coming that we are. And are you ready? Are you prepared to give your life for what you believe? Are you prepared to be a martyr if that's what it comes to? Are you prepared to say, I'm going to hold on to Jesus Christ and I don't care what happens to this life, I'm holding on to him? Because I guarantee you, that's what every martyr was given an opportunity to deny Christ, but they refused to deny Christ, therefore they became martyrs. And they have robes of righteousness. Are you prepared? You got to be sober in your mind. You got to change the way you think. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can only devour the unprepared. You have everything you need to prepare. You have the word, you have the spirit, you have the blood, you have the name, you have praise. Amen? We got to prepare ourselves. Samuel had to prepare an offering, didn't he? A sucking lamb. He had to clean it. He had to kill it. He had to prepare it. He had to give it. And it was in that preparation of his giving of his offering that God spoke. He prayed and gave an offering. 1 Samuel chapter 7. He gave a sucking lamb, a little lamb. Little Bo Peep lost her sheep. You see, when you don't consider what you have as precious, you can give it all away if you want, if the Lord leads you to. Because the more you give, the more you're going to get. We ought to be free like God in giving. You know what, in 1 Chronicles 29, you know what the first thing Hezekiah did when he became king? He cleansed the temple. He began to make repairs on the temple. That was my first sermon in our singles group at Grace Fellowship Church in Tulsa. We had about 50 or 60 singles. We would meet on a Sunday morning before church, and I got to preach my first sermon there. And I talked about the power and the purity of love, and how the first thing that Hezekiah did was he cleansed the temple when he became king. He began to set the things of God in order. And you know what? As a result, the Lord blessed him. The Lord caused his favor to shine upon him because he took preparation. Amen? Are you still with me? So we got to cleanse the temple. Who's the temple? Yeah, we are. You got to watch what you put in the temple. Do you have a mixture of things that you put in the temple, or are you running on high octane? Do you got the pure and sincere milk of the word, or is your milk mixed with other things, with chemicals? And whatever else they put in our food today. We need the pure, the sincere milk of the Word of God that we may grow thereby. Hallelujah. And then finally, you got to give God your undivided service. You got to surrender your will and your way to Him. You mean I got to give up my way? Yeah. See, when Jesus is Lord, that means you're not. Come on. When you're saying Adonai, you're saying Lord, Master. That means every major decision you make, you got to run it by Him to make sure it's okay. That means you got to get His perspective on things. He is your Lord. He has the right. He owns the rights to you. What do you mean? He bought you with a price. What was the price? His blood, which is priceless. You've been bought with a price. Your body's not your own. Oh, I thought it was my body. No, you're just renting it. Because pretty soon you're going to exchange your body for a new one. It's going to be glorified. I'm looking for that day of upgrade. But these are some things that we've got to do. See, preaching, there are times in preaching when the anointing comes in and gives you extra strength to do what God wants you to do, but then there are times when you just got to follow the instruction. This is one of those times where you got to follow the instruction. But I guarantee you, if you follow it, the anointing will be there to help. These are things that we have to do to reach our region, to get things, to make a clear path for God to move. Amen? Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I want you to see this. I'm almost finished. And don't say amen. Just kidding. It's okay. See, as a pastor, I don't have to worry about being invited back. So, blessed are the short-winded. They shall be invited back. It doesn't apply. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. This is in the midst of Jesus' temptation, but notice what he says to the devil. Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it has been written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Oh, what does a servant do? Does whatever the master tells them to do. You serve the master. Where is it that we say, "Here am I, Lord, send me," like Jeremiah? Where is that willingness to do anything and everything that the Lord would have you do? We've got to serve the Lord. How do we do that? We can serve the Lord in our church. We can serve the Lord in our family. We can serve the Lord on our job. We can serve the Lord. You got to put your hand to do something. How do you serve someone? You say, "May I help you? What would you like? Would you like fries with that? Can I fill your cup?" See, you are asking the person that you're serving to help them. When you want to serve, the Bible, Jesus said, serve the Lord only. And we got to serve the Lord like we're serving him. We got to serve people like we're serving him. Do it as unto the Lord, not as unto man. Say, "Pastor, how may I help you? Pastor, what can I do for you? Pastor, what can I do in the church?" You want to change your region? Start putting your hand to the plow. Faith does something. Amen? So if you've been here for a while and you're a member and you're not doing anything, you need to repent. There are plenty of things to do. There are plenty of areas. Amen? Pastors Herb and Diane, helping the children. There's all kinds of areas. And you know what? Just make yourself available to serve and watch what God does. You know, as a young single Christian in Illinois, I made myself available. I had a lot of zeal and not a lot of wisdom. And sometimes I get more involved in church things than my family things because, you know, I just wanted to serve God. Whatever they had for me, I picked up people from the airport. I helped clean the church. I just volunteered my time. I said, "Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want me to do." And I did it. And I did it with joy. Amen? And look at where I'm now. I'm still serving people. You know, maybe you don't know, but I'm a servant leader. I like to get involved, and sometimes I need to not be so involved as much as I am. Not in a bad way, but you understand, I got other responsibilities to do, and so, but serving the Lord brings such joy. I tell you, it's just a pleasure when you just do something for God. You find something to do and do it. You fill a need. Don't be led by the need, but just be willing to fill a need. Say, "Lord, here I am. Send me." And wherever he sends you, just do it. Be like Nike. Just do it. Do you know that before Elisha was plowing? He was a farmer. He had 12 yoke of oxen. And one day Elijah came to him. And Elijah was a prophet. He was just walking by. And he saw Elisha plowing. And he threw his mantle on him, signifying that Elisha was going to be a prophet. But you know what Elisha did? He didn't go out and preach and prophesy. You know what he did? He served Elijah. Now, at that time, Elijah was having a little pity party, you know, because he had just got done at the cave. He thought he was the only one. And then God spoke to him and said, "There's 7,000 more that haven't bowed their knee to Baal." He's like, "Oh." And he thought he was the only one. And he got that letter from Jezebel. And he said, "Jezebel sent me this letter. She's going to kill me." Now, if she really wanted to kill him, she'd send an assassin and not just a letter. But that letter caused him to run in the opposite direction that he was supposed to go. And in his pity party, the Lord said, "I want you to anoint Elisha as prophet in your stead." As far as the Lord was concerned, his pity party ended his ministry. Even though it went on a little bit longer in years, he anointed Elisha as prophet in his stead. If he hadn't been having his own little pity party, he might have not had to anoint his replacement right then. And so Elisha served him. Joshua served Moses. He made himself available. Whatever battle Moses needed to fight, Joshua said, I'm here, Moses. Just tell me what to do. Joshua would sit by the tabernacle, and he'd listen to Moses converse with God. And Moses would go back to camp, and Joshua would sit there. He would begin to connect with God. But he served Moses. He served Moses. Jesus was a servant. He took the towel on him. He washed his disciples' feet. He said, if you don't let me do this, you don't have any part of my ministry. The Master, Jesus, washed their feet. He's not asking you to do anything that he hasn't done himself. Now, this might be hard, but it's another broccoli sermon. One of these days, we're going to have some dessert sermon. Amen? But this is a broccoli sermon sometimes. Find something to do and serve the Lord. Jesus did it. Everyone else did it. Amen? And then finally, deliverance will come. God spoke with a voice of thunder. He confused the enemy. And in their confusion, they were defeated and cities were restored. A whole region was reached by one act of faith. By one time, people coming together and doing these things, a whole region was reached with the good news of God. God is faithful. He is your deliverer. He always performs his word. Psalm 91:3, he delivers you from the snare of the fowler and the arrow that flies by day. You can face any situation confidently knowing that God is your deliverer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to deliver us, and he will, and even if you don't. Now, one translation says, even if he doesn't. They didn't say that. You can't say God will, and in the other breath say he won't. That's not faith. That's double-minded. They went before the king knowing that God was their deliverer. So they said, King, we're not going to bow. We're going to do what's right, not what the law says, not what our government says, but what God says. And the apostle said, is it right for us to deny the word of God? When they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, they said, should we obey God or man? Which is better? Make up your mind that you're going to obey God, and you got to know that he's your deliverer and that whatever danger you face, he can rescue you. So let's look at this. How many want to affect our region? Amen? If you want to affect this region, stand up in Jesus' name. Well, what we need to do is just like what Samuel did, we need to repent. We need to return to God. We need to put away idols. We need to prepare ourselves spiritually. We need to give God our undivided service. And deliverance will come. And cities that were lost will be restored. You know, Jesus met a possessed man in the country of Gadara. You can't get any farther away from God than being possessed by devils. And there he was, living in the tombs. He would be chained up, his hair matted, and he met Jesus. You know what that possessed man did when he first saw Jesus? He worshiped him. That tells me that the devil cannot keep you from worshiping God. And he bowed down before him. Jesus cast the devils out of him, and he was so excited. He said, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to follow you. And Jesus said, no. He said, you go to your home country. He lived in an area called Decapolis. You know what Deca means? 10. He lived in an area of 10 cities. So that man who was possessed by devils was commissioned by Jesus to go into the 10 cities and to prepare the way for Jesus to come back again. And they had a great revival in that. Jairus came out of Decapolis. He must have heard reports of this man who was possessed, who was now in his right mind. But he sent him back into the 10 cities where he could go prepare the way for the king. You are here today because you have a divine appointment with God. He wants to use you where you're at, with your influence, with your gifts and talents and abilities. He wants to use you to influence this region for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's time that we as a church kick it up. We have a goal for souls. We want to see 10 new souls a month coming into this church. What's it going to take? It's going to take us praying. It's going to take us witnessing. It's going to take us sharing. It's going to take us coming out of our comfort zone and doing something that we've never done before. And we're going to have to do it in agreement. So do you agree with that vision? That at the end of 2009, we'll see 120 new faces here or more. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you that you have given us the ability to increase this region for you. Father, we pray over this region right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we claim this region for you. We plead the blood of Jesus over this region, Father, and over our neighborhoods and over our workplaces, Father. And I pray, Lord, that we would shine as lights. Lord, that we would take the light of the gospel and let it shine, that men would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven in Jesus' name. We just give you thanks and praise and glory right now. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to dismiss you, but if there's anybody here you need prayer for anything, I want to pray for you. So the people who have to go can go, but the people who need prayer, I'm willing to pray with you because there's an anointing here, amen? How many feel the presence of the Lord here today? Oh, glory to God. God is so good and gracious. So if you have to go, you can go. But I want to invite anybody that needs prayer for anything, come up and we'll pray for you. Come right now. Do it quickly. Come on. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you right now.